That's pre-K to sixth grade. Pre-K to sixth. While they're making their way down to the front, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Hopefully, on your way in, you got a bulletin, because the scripture passage is also on the back of that. It won't be on the screen in just a minute, so either have a Bible or have one of the bulletins. And just a couple of things to mention. We do have Trunk or Treat this Tuesday. It starts at 6:30, but if you've got a trunk and you're setting that up, if you would, please come at 5:45, and we're planning to start at 6:30 sharp. And if you have not signed up, but you are able to do a trunk, we are still a few short, and so we need your help. If you would be able to do that, if you could sign your name, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. There's also one out in the Welcome Center. Please sign up and let us know that you would like to decorate your trunk and hand out candy to some of our neighbors. And again, just a couple of things. Whoever is handing out the candy, we're asked that you would please to mask yourself. And if you're going to dress up, please dress up in a non-horror theme, please. That's some of the rules that we have established. And so we look forward to Tuesday. Please be praying. We will be handing out some things to the community, communicating the gospel to them. Just ask that they would have softened hearts that are ready to hear and receive and know Jesus Christ, that we would be a church that loves them, that's willing to share the truth of the Lord with them. All right. We're going to read Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. 13 through 18. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can be compared with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Heavenly Father, we turn our hearts, we turn our attention, our focus, our priority on you and your word. We believe that real change in hardened hearts, sinful hearts, wayward hearts, that real change comes to them by the power of your word. As we hear it, receive it, believe it, obey it. So, Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and change us and make us more like our Savior, whom we love, Jesus Christ. And we ask all this in his holy name. Amen. The question I want to begin with this morning is, what is the blessed life? What is the blessed life? Because I want you to notice the first and the last word of the passage that is in front of us is that word, blessed. The word serves as kind of a bookend, and everything else that is in the middle tells us what it means to have a blessed life. I wonder if you would be able to define that word if you were asked. I remember several years ago a preacher teaching about the marriage vows. And if you know the old marriage vows, there's the old word cherish in there. And he said that he did not know of any good word in the English language to substitute or adequately define the word cherish. Too many words would be needed to substitute that one. You just kind of know what cherish means. The same may be true of blessed. And if I were to take away the option of happy for you, would you be able to define blessed? Happy in the English language just doesn't seem to have enough substance to give the meaning of this word. After all, the Greek word that translators use as the substitute for the Hebrew was makarios, which was the word that Jesus used in the Beatitudes. And he said things like this: blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. And to say that it means just happy just wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are those who are persecuted. I think happiness will probably be down in there somewhere, but it does not encapsulate the full range of the word blessed. From what I've read, in places like this where we see this word, maybe in Psalm chapter 1, another one, blessed is an expression of praise for someone who lives life as God has intended it. A person experiencing God's favor, God's prosperity. I think happy comes across as superficial and fleeting. But blessed expresses something with deep roots. I want a blessed life. Whatever God meant when he inspired this to be written, I want it. Don't you? Fortunately for us, we are told here how to be blessed and what it is. Look again at the first and the last verse. He says there in verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. That person is blessed. Verse 18, one is called blessed when he holds wisdom fast. So I think simply put, the blessed person is one who finds wisdom and continues in it. The blessed person is one who finds wisdom and continues in it. Why is wisdom the key to blessing? Well, he goes on to tell us that there is so much to gain from wisdom. Look at verse 14. The gain from her wisdom is better than gain from silver. Her profit is better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing is like wisdom, he says. Wisdom is exceedingly valuable. Well, Solomon, tell us what you mean here. How is it that wisdom is so exceedingly valuable, more so than silver and gold and jewels, anything else that we could scrape up in this life? Wisdom is better. Describe to me what wisdom does that makes it so valuable. Well, he does. Verses 16 and 17. This is what wisdom gives, or what it possesses, what it has. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. That's what she's holding. That's what you gain by having wisdom. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And so wisdom here is personified as a woman, and she's holding these things in her hands. In her right hand is long life. It means that she has health there. Health is in her right hand that leads to length of days. In her left hand are riches and honor. Money and high regard of her neighbors she possesses. And Lady Wisdom, we're told, is also going places and she's doing things. All of her paths are paths of pleasantness. Pleasantness follows her wherever she goes. Everything that she does is peace. That's what she has. This is what the blessed man has if he finds wisdom. So can you see why Solomon would say that wisdom is of greater value than gold and silver and precious jewels? And he is a man who knew this firsthand from his own experience. One night, just after Solomon became king, the Lord came to him and said, "What shall I give you?" It was almost as if God was giving him a blank check. "What do you want? And I'll give it." And what does Solomon ask for? He says that he wants wisdom. Solomon told the Lord that he didn't know how to lead God's people well. He was young and inexperienced, and now he was the king, and he wanted to do an honorable and faithful job as the king of Israel. And it was a humble request because he could have asked for anything. And he says he wants to be wise. And God gladly honored his request. Listen to what he says in response to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. Because you have asked this for wisdom, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king can compare with you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And so here, because Solomon's chief desire is wisdom, God will grant him what? Riches and honor and long life. And by the way, if you know anything about the reign of Solomon, you know that it was marked on all sides with peace from his enemies. He was the king of peace that followed after his father David, who was the king of war. Now it seems that Solomon gained all of these things as a direct gift from God, but it's also true that wisdom was the path to them, which is why he now teaches these things to his son. The blessed life is gained through wisdom. I heard a question like this week. Which one of these options is more attractive to you? $1 million or wisdom? If you could have just one of those, which one would you choose? The Lord is telling us here which one is better. And if you've ever watched one of those I Won the Lottery shows before, then you probably know that it is true. And the rest of the book of Proverbs is written to demonstrate how the wise man conducts himself in this life, and it will lead to a life worthy of praise and imitation, a life experiencing the favor of the Lord. And wisdom, we are told here, is the straightforward and practical way to riches, honor, and long life. And just in case that kind of language makes you uncomfortable, talking about riches and honor and health, because in some ways, to be honest with you, it makes me a little uncomfortable, but I'll hopefully flesh this out a little bit. But just at face value, the Proverbs do not speak negatively about money. It's simply something that God has given to be a blessing to people, period. And the thing that makes it an evil of sorts is the human heart. Money itself is not. What we do with it, what we desire of it, that's what makes it sinful. So Proverbs does not talk about these things in a negative way. And wisdom, we are told, is the path to these kinds of blessings. It's actually pretty practical if you think on it. Let me give you some examples. So how is it that wisdom will yield riches? Or just, let's just say, sufficient means. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. So it's saying that if do you want wealth? Do you want some money? Wisdom teaches for you to work and gather little by little if you want to increase it. But health gained hastily will dwindle. So get rich quick schemes are not wise, and they are not blessed by the Lord, because more often than not, they are taking advantage of the weaknesses of others. I had an uncle who was always looking for that next get rich quick scheme. Always. And he never got rich. And as far as I know, he never really had much of anything in the last 30 years of his life. It seems that he was actively engaged, working against the design of God. So the Proverbs teach us hard work, collecting little by little. Eventually, you have more than enough, and you're able to share with those who are in need. The Proverbs have a lot to teach us about diligent work, that those who work will have the things that they need. We're also told a lot about the sluggard. He's mentioned many times in Proverbs, the sluggard. That just sounds kind of nasty, doesn't it? The sluggard is the lazy man, the one who makes excuses for not working, the man who loves to sleep, and because of it, we're told, he goes hungry. Another element of wealth is not living beyond your means. So you need to work hard, save little by little, but also you need to live within your means. Proverbs 13:7, one pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. You hear stories from time to time about the little old widow who everybody thought was poor because she lived like it. And I've read real life stories about this. You probably have too. But when the lady, you know, after long days passes away, you find out that she had millions stored away and she gives it to some cause. And that's what this is teaching here, that those who want to have some money, who want to look rich when they're not, act like they're rich when they're not, those people will be poor. Those people who live beyond their means. But if you want to have some resources, you have to live poorer than you really are. So here is how someone will experience the blessing of money according to Proverbs, and this is wisdom. It's just wisdom. It's just practical. You might even say to yourself, this is just common sense. Work hard, save little by little, live poorer than you are. That's it. That's wisdom. The blessed person, we're told, has a long life. He has health. You want to be healthy. Again, common sense. Wisdom is eating the right things, not too much of it, and exercising. Care for the body, and it lives longer. You want real honor? Have integrity. Don't steal. Be honest. Care for the needs of others. That's where honor comes from. Proverbs teaches that too. How is the wise and blessed person given paths of peace? She knows how to be a woman of truth and gentleness. She's good with her words. She stands for justice. She's honest in her dealings. She's not a gossip. She does what she says. This creates peace with other people. These are all things that the Proverbs teach us about interacting and loving other people. This is the path of blessing. So can you see why Solomon is so intent on teaching his son the value of wisdom? We teach our kids a lot of subjects in school so that they do well on tests and they get good jobs. But I think that we're being shown a subject that is far more valuable than anything children will ever learn in their school classrooms. How to live according to God's design. How to have good character. How to take care of money. How to spend your time. How to deal with other people. How to talk with them. It's just practical stuff. But Solomon is saying this leads to the path of blessing, and yet so few find it. I think the book of Proverbs would serve as a mighty fine textbook for our children, but also a mighty fine one for every adult in this room who wants to be wise. So let's come back to this idea of the blessed life. Kind of life that is gained through wisdom. I'm going to give you another question that's an either or. If your child, or maybe your grandchild, could have one of these lives, which one would you want for them? They could have the life that at just face value is being described here. Riches, honor, long life, well thought of by everybody. It's the kind of person that everybody wants their kid to be like. And by all accounts, anybody who's watching, looking on, would see that they have a successful life. It's the kind of life that most moms and dads can't wait to tell others about when they're asked about their children. They're almost waiting. Please ask me about my family, because I'm going to tell you how well my children are doing. Well, you know, John's a doctor now. He's worked really hard to become a specialist, and he's doing really well over there at Roswell. Oh, yeah, Jenny, the business she started a few years ago, you know, she was just mentioned in some Buffalo magazine. Bought a house over there in the suburbs. I don't know why she thinks she needs so much house, but her kids are really going to enjoy that indoor swimming pool this winter. You know, things that you just kind of, by happenstance, you know, you kind of communicate, oh, they're doing really well, let me tell you. And there's nothing wrong with being proud about how well your kids have done. But this is option one. That they have a life, by all accounts, seems to be blessed. But here's the thing. They don't know Jesus. Or they could have a life where they do know him, but they never have worldly success. By all accounts, they are poor. No job to brag about. No college achievements. No letters after their name. Never really getting ahead. Health problems. But they are passionate about Jesus Christ, and they love him more than life itself. So when I ask that, I really mean for you to consider what I am saying. Which one would you say is the blessed life? Which one would you rather communicate about your children or your grandchildren? And you might think to yourself, well, it sure doesn't seem that that second option has lived with the wisdom that you just explained to us in Proverbs chapter 3. They must not have pursued it like the treasure that we're told that it is. Well, let me give you two responses to that. Number one, it is possible for a person to live in this world with great wisdom and still to have everything fall apart. So you can work hard at a job and get paid very little for it. You can live underneath your means and then have a health crisis or a car accident or your rent gets raised. The unexpected does happen in this world, doesn't it? You can live honorably and people might lie about you. You can seek peace and you find that nobody else is interested. You can eat right and exercise and still get cancer. My point is that wisdom is not always the straightforward path to the blessings described, because we live in a fallen world where sin and where evil exist. Those elements complicate the formula. They just muddy the waters. That's the first response to that. The second one. If we think that wisdom is just figuring out the structure of God's world so that we can have what's deemed as a successful life, we are missing the foundational principle of wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. That's really the substance of what wisdom really is. Not all of the blessings that are attached to it, but it's about living for the Lord in his world. That's the first and most important thing. So if we were to teach that class on wisdom to our children, but never get around to trust in the Lord with all your heart, then we have not taught them to be wise. But instead, we have taught them to be fools in the end. We've told them how to work a system without teaching them to have a relationship with the one who made the system. That is not a blessed life. You cannot have a blessed life without a relationship of love with the Lord. You can't have it. You can experience some of the blessings of life. It's simply a good gift from Him. Common grace that God might pour out good things on people who don't know Him, and He does. So you can enjoy the blessings, but will not, in the final judgment, receive a well done from the Lord. So success in this life, by all accounts and everybody on looking, success in this life is not necessarily to be blessed. I know of a man who had a conversation with a daughter of his where she was told that if she could either be wildly successful in this life, praised by others for her gifts, great job, making money, good family, the American dream, but she does not know Jesus, or she goes off somewhere in poverty and no honor, telling people about Jesus, never to return home again. He told her that he would rather her have option number two, and he meant it. In relationship to the book of Proverbs, at least she would have grasped the beginning of wisdom and received the commendation of the Lord. So what if she never got the material blessings? Who cares? She would have the treasure above all treasures that the world could never take from her. So you might ask, what's the point then of these verses in Proverbs 3? Should we pursue wisdom in order to gain the blessings that it gives? Well, I would tell you that you always pursue wisdom. Always pursue wisdom. But leave the results of it to the Lord. I don't trust my heart enough to think that I would just want wisdom for wisdom's sake, or just because it honors the Lord. My heart would eventually make money the main thing. That's just what it does. It would make fame or being well known, well regarded by other people. It would make that the main thing and scrap the relationship with the Lord. So I would say live wisely, and the Lord may bless you with those things. And if He does, you praise Him for it. You give thanks to Him for it. But never think wisdom and success and blessing can ever really be had in its fullest sense without knowing Jesus Christ. After all, the New Testament says, in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. He is wisdom. Jesus asked, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The answer is supposed to be obvious. You could appear to everyone else to have it all and to have a blessed life, but then lose it all in the end and your soul with it. But the wise man, the blessed man, he has the treasure of wisdom, Jesus Christ, hidden in his heart. And he may have little to nothing in this life, but if he has Christ, he will receive far more in him than he ever could have hoped for the world to offer. And so I think that when you know Jesus, it changes the way that you then read Proverbs chapter 3. It changes the way that you look at what wisdom is, and he changes the way that you see the blessed life. So let's read it again together. And I want to show you, instead of wisdom, let's put Jesus there. Blessed is the one who finds Jesus and the one who gets his understanding. For the gain from him is better than gain from silver, and his profit is better than gold. He is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with him. Long life is in his right hand. In his left hand are riches and honor. His ways are ways of pleasantness, and all his paths are peace. Jesus is a tree of life to those who lay hold of him. Those who hold him fast are called blessed. Do you believe that? Brothers and sisters, I would ask, do you have that? Do you have that? I've asked you several questions during our time together. I'm going to finish by just asking a couple more and we'll be done. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ like this? Not in name only, not as an acquaintance, not as somebody that you read about. Do you know Jesus like this, where you can say he is your treasure? That he is more valuable than gold and silver and anything else that this world can give you? Would you be willing to lose it all if you could still have him? Can you say that in your heart of hearts? I mean, really say that. Some of you here this morning may not be able to say that. May God grant you mercy to see him as valuable as he really is, to call on him and receive the new life that he promises to give. You must be born again. And only by seeing Jesus like this will you receive the blessed life. For those of you this morning who can say that you know him, you know that you know him, I've asked some of these other questions just to maybe expose your heart just a little bit. To ask you, what is it that you are really pursuing in life? What's your life all about? Because whatever you're chasing after, spending your time on, talking to other people about, modeling to your children, that's what you think the blessed life is. You might be able to say, on one hand, that you know Jesus Christ like this, but you might be living in a way that's completely contradictory to what you were saying. Knowing him and making him known, that is the point of life, period. Because with him comes everything else. And maybe not in this life, but certainly in the next. But even so, Jesus is the treasure. Don't get mixed up and think that all of his gifts are what we're really chasing after. Heaven is all about him, being with him, knowing him. Now, you'll get gifts with him too, but he's the treasure. So is he your first love? And is that what your life is all about? I read this week in Philippians chapter 3, just with the conviction where Paul says that he wants to know him and the power of his resurrection. He wants to know him. That's what his whole life is about, knowing more of Jesus. Doesn't matter what it takes to get it, suffering, so be it. He knows more of Christ. That's the whole pursuit of his life. It's not about just getting by and paying the bills. Those things have to be done, but they're not the main thing. Knowing him is. He is the blessed life. You cannot have it without him. So may God look down and have mercy on all of us to see Jesus as he truly is, a treasure, and to live for him. And if we do, brothers and sisters, we will have the blessed life. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that we can gather in this place and worship you, sing beautiful songs of praise. Thank you for our Savior. Lord, would you bring conviction where it is needed? Would you wake up sleepy people where it is needed? Would you raise dead souls where it is needed? And ignite a fire in the hearts of this church to live for Jesus Christ, to know him, to see him as more valuable than gold or silver and precious jewels, and to shape our life around what he wants and to find our chief joy in pleasing him. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, please stand to your feet, and we'll close with the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise God, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.